Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's In the Open with America and Teresa. Today, we're going to talk about controlling feelings, which is a hard topic for us to figure out because we're like, do people Google, I feel weird, I don't know what I'm feeling?
I think most people Google, I don't know what I'm feeling, because it's hard to put into words what you feel. I'm going to talk about my experience because if people have been listening for a while, they know that I'm not really a feely person. I'm not. I function most in a space of logic. So it's very hard for me to talk about my feelings because I don't even know what, like, the words to use. One, I curse a lot, so I think that also has to do something with it. But it's easier for me to, like, tap into feelings of anger and frustration than it is for me to, like, talk about feeling maybe sad or...
I had to learn feelings. First of all, when I started learning that we suck, like, human beings suck at feelings. Like, we don't know how to label feelings. If you ask most people what they feel, what do they say? Like,
I'm fine.
Fine. Happy.
Happy.
Sad. Mad.
Mm-hmm.
Glad. Frustrated.
Yeah. Overwhelmed.
Yeah, we're really bad. So my journey into understanding feelings was needing to control my overwhelming feelings.
How did you feel when you talk about overwhelming? What is that? What is that feeling?
Well, I guess for me, it started with anxiety. So, like, there were all those feelings with anxiety and depression.
Okay.
And so I think understanding your feelings, what I learned was there's this whole world in mental health care around what this term that they call emotional dysregulation, which to me just means I'm just freaking out. Like, I'm freaking the F out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I describe it. Like, I feel the rapidness that you can go from, like, whatever is happening in your mind and your stupid thoughts to feeling a lot of big feelings, overwhelming feelings all at one time, and then just not knowing how to cope. Obviously feeling crushed by your big feelings and then just overwhelmed. So I think a lot of people that I talk to, friends or whatever, or thinking back in my life, like, that period was just when you didn't have control over it. What happens is it just felt like your feelings took over and it was all overwhelming. And it's a skill to learn feelings, which is really weird because I feel like you say you don't like feelings, but you feel feelings.
Yes, I know. I don't like expressing and showing my feelings.
You don't like talking about your feelings.
Yes.
We're pretty bad about talking about feelings.
Yeah. So this guy...
We feel feelings all the time. We just don't talk
about
them.
Yeah, we just can't talk about it. So this guy named Dr. Mark Brackett, he wrote this book called Permission to Feel. If you guys haven't picked it up, we're, like, reading it at work.
But it's part of a whole world in education around social emotional learning. And actually, like, learning how to feel good feelings and control this stuff, should have been stuff that we learned in first grade, but most people didn't get it, right? Like, we're really, and so because we didn't learn it when we were in first grade, or, like, the
it's
age.
Kind of foreign.
Yeah, then we all became adults, like, really horrible to one another, who are all really bad at feeling and talking about feelings and understanding our feelings.
You know, like, in therapy, one of the key things you learn are, like, I messages, you know, like, I feel X, Y, Z because blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And that really is a learned habit. It's a learned skill because I think for me, I function in this place of if I really tell you how I feel, there's this idea of judgment that you're not going to really like if I tell you how I feel. And so it's maybe like a protective factor.
But one of the things that happens when you talk about feelings is it because what is about to come out of your mouth isn't a feeling? It's a judgment. I feel like you're a jerk. It's
not a
feeling. Okay.
No. Opening myself up to being vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
Right? So that's where, like, the judgment piece comes up.
Okay.
Then it's an aspect of once I share my feeling with you, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
You know, so I don't want to make myself vulnerable, tell you all this stuff, and you just sit there like, oh, okay, great. It's like, please do something with this because now I'm lying here. Like, what? You know, yeah. So that's where my mind goes. But it's also tied to cultural kind of things, like where you're just supposed to function. Whatever is happening, you're just supposed to function and continue to move forward.
Eat your feelings.
Yeah.
Don't air out your dirty laundry.
Yeah. It's not like my parents didn't create the space for feelings. My dad is like the best person in the world. He's like, tell me how you feel. But it's like, if I have to tell you how I feel, that you're not going to like it.
Yeah.
I suck.
But in a lot of, even if your parents were really good, I don't feel like there's so much of society that tells us to stop, you know? People are so uncomfortable with feelings that if you start to share too much, people are like.
Yeah.
Because for a while, you know, definitely I would get side eye. I still do, actually, because I will talk about the way I feel. And people are like.
You can't do that.
You know, oh, this girl, you know? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally understand what
because
you're
saying. Because maybe they're uncomfortable or something. I get it. Because
the space, I think, sometimes isn't there for us to be in a place where we are open to understanding and allowing the person to feel whatever they feel.
Yeah. Except with anger. And that's a problem, right?
Yes,
completely. We eat our feelings, like the big feelings, the ones that are underneath so much, that we just shove them down till they fester in our belly. And then we blow up at people.
You know, when you think about like these ideas of this vein of like positive psychology and things like that, and the connection that's related to like our energies and stuff, like when you take in and you keep all this stuff in, it really becomes a physical thing where you can start feeling like backaches, headaches, you know,
depressed.
And it's
weighed down.
Yeah. Cause you're not able to actually vocalize what you're feeling, which sucks, dude.
So part of it is like what I'm hearing. It is a habit. Like those feelings that are the negative feelings, we eat them, we hold on to them so close, they become something we're so used to. It's what we go to first, that even thinking positively or being grateful or being happy feels so foreign. We don't even know how to feel what that feels like anymore. I do relate to that. Like it feels sometimes so far away to feel happy.
Like, you know, there a while back, I was given an exercise, and I'm telling you, I focus more on things that are tangible for me to write down.
Yeah.
Because that's the way I process stuff. And somebody asked me, write down what you feel. And, you know, you kind of go to this place where it's like stressed, overwhelmed, angry. Why? Why do you feel overwhelmed? And if you really look at that, and I'm like, I feel overwhelmed because I feel like I can't ask for help.
Yeah.
You know, and so when you start digging, because our lexicon, we don't have the words.
We have words.
Yeah.
No, we have horrible feeling vocabulary.
Yes. You're not able to then dig. You just feel like, I feel bad. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
You know?
I get that punchy feeling when I don't know like when somebody does something and I knew my first instinct was to feel the, you know?
Yeah.
I'm upset. I'm upset for some reason, but it took time to get to the place where I could be like, oh, wait, okay, you're upset. What are you feeling?
Yeah, like, you know, when you talk about that, it makes me think of like,
what are you feeling besides anger? What's underneath your anger? Like, it's so much work, right?
When you're feeling this anger, because we're going to go on anger and then go downwards, okay? Like, for me, I'm going to talk about my experience.
Okay.
When I'm feeling anger, I get hot, like internally hot, and I'm just like, ugh. And I can feel the heat in like my belly and like my muscles tense up. And it's like a little monster. It really is like a freaking little monster. And then after whatever, you know, the anger passes, then I get to this place of feeling kind of defeated. Like, damn, you got angry again. Why do you do that? Right?
That's so interesting.
And now I'm at a place where I'm trying to understand that.
That's cool, because what you just described was something that we do we have to learn, you know, you took a moment where it feels like 0 to 100 and you have all these feelings and you practiced trying to break down your experience and go through different levels of feelings and like, how did your body react and maybe what you were thinking to get from feeling 0 to 100 or just feeling overwhelmed by our feelings. We do have to start unpacking like, okay, what happened in that moment?
Yeah.
You had all these feelings, you know, and I love that you tied it to your, I don't get hot.
I get hot.
Really?
Yeah,
that's so
man.
Funny. Like your skin gets hot?
No, like I feel like my belly is just like, and yeah, like, and.
So
like,
now that you're making me think about what happens when I get angry,
yeah.
I get whatever happened, there's some thing that triggered a feeling. And I'm not able to identify that the feeling is anger, but I feel, and I tense.
Okay.
My body gets tense. And then I can describe it as just wanting to punch something.
Okay.
like needing
it's
an
too
immediate,
much.
Immediate release.
Yeah.
And I know that that's anger. And anger is a feeling we go to a lot, you
yeah.
and me. So what's underneath your anger? Because we talk about that. You
know,
you have your feelings, and then if you unpack it,
yeah.
you realize that, oh, I'm angry because actually I have all these other feelings.
Yeah. Part of it, I think, is sadness, which I can't necessarily tap into immediately because when I visualize sadness, it's like a turtle. I'm going back into my shell, and it's like, forget it. I'm going to protect myself.
Mm.
You know, because if otherwise, then
why do you need to protect yourself? What is it that you feel that you need to protect?
My feelings, my vulnerability.
Vulnerability?
Yeah, that's what I'm protecting. You can't really see that, you know.
Vulnerability is like, I know a lot of people talk about vulnerability.
It's like your soft belly, you're a puppy, you know.
Yeah. Feeling scared or
yeah.
feeling, when I think about anger, and it's true that it's vulnerability, but thinking about other words to describe that state, feeling unworthy or scared or
yeah.
insecure. People hate the word insecure because it feels like a weakness.
Yeah.
But that's probably also why we run away from that feeling. We don't want to believe
yeah.
that we're insecure, but that's kind of what's happening, right? Like when someone makes us mad, I wonder how much of what we're responding to is because we feel attacked or we feel devalued.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, devalued is not a feeling word. This is where, I don't know. Is
maybe
it?
Like unworthy.
Unworthy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, the feeling is of that insecurity of like, I'm not, whatever happened there, you didn't. You know, when we want to make judgment statements about why we're angry, it's like you didn't do something that you should have done.
Yeah, but you know, like when we talk about this and like people are out there just thinking about like, I don't know how I feel. I feel weird all the time. And it's okay to feel that way because we haven't been taught how to talk about these things.
Yeah.
And part of that process to kind of help you move through it, I think for me has been valuable in like writing stuff down, like in a journal.
Mm-hmm.
And like now when I go back and read other journals, I'm like, dude, you were so sad. Like,
oh.
What happened? Or it's like, oh, I can totally see why you got so mad. Because in that moment, I can relive it.
Oh.
So, I mean, writing things down. Do you find that talking, like, helps?
So I'm not a writer. Like, whenever my therapist asks me to write stuff, I know a lot of people find value in that. I'm not a writer. When I first struggled with feelings because I didn't have the words, I had to learn the words. And the only way that I could do it was to print out a list of feelings.
Okay.
Which you can just do if you
oh,
Google
yeah.
like list of feelings. And I had to put it up around me. And sometimes when I had big feelings, like when I want to punch somebody
yeah.
or scream or when I lash out or, you know, big feelings, I had to go look at the list and start to be like, okay, I feel this. This is like the feeling I feel, primary feeling first. And then I asked myself, like, what's underneath? What's going on here for real? Like when that person did that thing, what was going on?
Yeah.
What is it that makes me really feel? Does it make sense?
Yeah.
So because I didn't have a vocabulary, I had to print it out so I could just look at it.
That's
and I couldn't even write them because I wouldn't even know like what those words were.
Yeah. We have it here at MHA, like in our store and our merch, a little magnet that shows different faces with feelings.
Yeah.
And I have one of those at home. And I know, like, with my nieces and nephews, I'd be like, show me what you're feeling. Because you don't know, right? But your face can say it. And I think that's really useful for people.
Yeah. Especially kids.
Yeah.
So if you think about the feelings faces works for kids, because they're just starting to learn feelings for words. But as adults, you know, what's the equivalent of that? We use, as we get better and better as adults, you know, your feeling vocabulary should move from 5 words to 20 words, yeah. 100 words. I mean, man, that's like really hardcore. But I don't find that most of us get to, I think if we're feeling really good and we have a better toolbox of feelings to draw from,
yeah,
it's like 30 words at best.
I think some I think some people have a talent for being able to communicate their feelings through other means, right? Like poetry or art or something like that.
They're probably much better
yeah.
at finding feeling words
yeah.
than because, us stopped up people.
Yeah, that is
me.
That is just like I'm fine.
Yeah.
No. You're not fine.
Are you creative?
I'm a little creative. I think so.
Man, I don't know. Maybe it was an ESL.
I used to be an ESL. You.
I just use that as an excuse for all my faults. I'm like, no. I just don't know words because I don't know any words.
I mean, I think what has to happen is you have to find what works to help you dig through all that stuff. One, right? But beyond that is knowing, you know, sometimes for me, it helps like when I call my friends and I don't have to explain what I'm saying. They just know what I'm saying without me having to say, I feel like crap.
Yeah. So let's go through the process of what we understand is the beginning of trying to work through understanding feelings.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. At the beginning, it's you just are kind of lost.
Okay. That's lost.
Yes.
What's after lost?
After lost is an interest in saying, I got to figure out what's happening.
Okay. I would have said the things that happen is like crap happens. Like there has to be something, an event
okay.
that makes you have a feeling, right?
Fine. Okay. Crap happens.
Normally, if you have a feeling, like a big feeling, because most of us are like, blah, whatever, going about our day, and then something happens, normally to piss you off.
Yeah.
Or irritate you or bring you joy. We are really good at identifying joy. We're not so good at understanding stressed and mad, right? So
yes.
Something has to happen that makes you stressed or mad. And then what? Then you feel your big feeling.
Normally, there's some sort of reaction. So whether it's anger or sadness, like physically what's happening to your body.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's key.
Okay. So you identify the reaction.
Yes.
You said both mentally and physically.
Yes.
For you.
Yes.
Okay.
Because they're tied together.
Together?
Yes, uh-huh. Completely.
Okay.
And then after that, I try to figure it out so that I don't do it again or know how to navigate that space in a better way.
Okay. Then you think through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
I know we've created several tools and people have acronyms that help them to figure out how to do the process of identifying feelings. So I know on our website, we have our path to calm, right? One of the things around identifying feelings is developing a habit so that the first thing you do when you have a big feeling is learning how to stop.
Okay. Give me an example.
Like, when I'm not good, I go from 0 to 100. We've talked about that, right?
Okay.
Like I feel angry and then I immediately move to lashing out. That's 0 to 100. Or to eat it or cry or, you know, bring on an anxiety attack or just destroy relationships. All the other stuff that we talk about, right? So part of it is like, you got to learn how to stop. Like
okay.
If something happens and then you got to learn how to stop. Stop yourself.
Okay. So pump the brakes.
Pump the brakes.
All right.
Which takes time to learn how to do that. Did you learn how to stop?
Man, I'm still learning, yo. Because the reality is I don't always do it.
How interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when I think of somebody that has really good control of their feelings, I think of like my dad, because he's a very empathetic individual.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very thoughtful in how he does things.
Yeah.
not to say that I'm not thoughtful, but I'm more reactionary.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why for me, it's like, I'm telling you, I can go back to when I was a kid and my parents are like, America, count to 10 before you respond.
Oh my God. It's like Daniel the Tiger, which is one of those social emotional learning things. They're like, Daniel the Tiger, like when you're feeling angry, count to 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And basically that's like trying to teach us.
Well, how to do it. I think I'm going to have to memorize that.
Take a deep breath.
Stop. But that's good.
Slow your roll.
Yeah.
You got to learn how to slow your roll.
Pump your brakes.
So you, whatever the freaking motto is that you got to say to yourself, one of the things we first have to learn is just to freaking slow your roll.
Yeah.
Whatever it is that your habit is when you're about to hurt someone or hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Or do the things that you don't want to do that you're going to regret. You've got to learn how to stop. Which is like sometimes we jump over that so fast. Like we're just like, okay, stop. Now what? But you're like, then you don't acknowledge how hard it is to take that first step.
Yeah. I think the acknowledgement piece takes time. Like you can teach yourself to stop and then figure it out. And what? Now? Well, okay, I stopped. What am I supposed to do? And it's okay to feel kind of ambivalent because you don't know what to do. But it's taking time to think, what's really happening here?
I remember there was a time in my life where I had to literally say out loud, stop.
Oh, I do that. I still do that.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Stupid brain. And it did help me. It was horrible. It did help me to beat myself up in a different way because I was beating myself about the bad behaviors I knew, not beating myself up because I am bad, right? But like, stop it. Don't go to that stupid place. Stop. Just stop. And then I had to take breaths.
Yeah.
Like, just take freaking breaths. Just, okay, do your thing.
You know, what's funny is when you say that, like, just last week, I was having these internal conversations, and I'm like, yo, America, stop, stupid, what the hell?
Yeah.
So, yes.
Stop ruminating. Stop going down that path. Stop doing the thing. Stop making it more. Stop the shoulda, woulda, couldas. Because we did. We talked about stopping stupid thoughts.
Yeah.
And that the next stage to stopping stupid thoughts is acknowledging and dealing with feelings.
Yeah.
So then after you stop, then you have to do this thing. You have to acknowledge it and then think about what happened, right? Like, yes, it's okay to have these feelings. Feelings are normal. And then you have to think, and that's good because then.
Yes, it's good.
The thinking part. Which honestly, like, it doesn't matter that I have a bigger vocabulary for feelings because the only goal here is to stop. Like, don't punch anybody. Don't scream at your husband.
Don't say bad things.
Don't say bad things. Don't say whatever it is that's in your head.
Yeah.
But when I make myself go through the process of stop, think, understand, and then what, it just teaches me to stop, right?
Yeah. The thinking part around all of this, though, I think that's part of the ninja work, right? Like, what's leading you to feel this way?
Yeah.
Think about it so that you can do better next time.
I found there was a tool that we were teaching a lot of people, and I do like it. It's from Nonviolent Communication, and it's what happened, what do I feel, and what do I need? And that helped. It was so simple. It was like, what happened? What do I feel? What do I need? So every time I would freak out, I would just be like, stop. What happened? Which is hard because then you're forced to think about what is it that's the specific behavior that really ticked me off. Was it the tone of voice? Was it something he said? Was it the words they used? Is it, you know, something that happened before? And then I have to identify the feeling, which is very hard because I had to go from, I feel like you're a jerk or I feel you're stupid. I had to go from, I had to go from clearly not knowing feelings to learning real feelings and then learning deep feelings and learning underlying feelings. Like, okay, I'm angry, but why?
Yeah.
Because when you said, I'm going to go make my coffee, you did not acknowledge that I was already making my coffee and that's not selfish. I felt like you weren't valuing my space or something like that, valuing me, right? Like I had to learn all that. What happened? What did I feel? And then what do I need? I need to be assertive and just say, hey, I was making coffee.
Yeah.
And not be like snarky.
But that's the reality, right? Because you have to get to this place of being able to vocalize what your needs are, because sometimes we don't do that, which then puts us back into this cycle.
Absolutely. So after stopping feeling and needs, absolutely, learning how to ask for what you need.
Yeah.
And then identifying that the need is actually going to tap into making you feel better. Feel
yeah.
secure.
Yeah, I believe the ultimate goal is feeling better. But for you to get to that place, you have to kind of feel like crap, because you have to work through that. You have to muddle through all that stuff to then be able to actually know what feeling better is like.
Yeah. And being able to tie it to something that someone or you can do to change the situation.
Yeah.
So that you can feel better. Because sometimes it's not even that they change a behavior. Sometimes through this process, I've learned, wow, like I feel these feelings because something I made of this situation, you know, it was the stupid thoughts, the shoulda, woulda, couldas, the catastrophizing. Then all I had to change was not recognizing I need to stop my stupid thoughts.
So if you guys are interested, the Path to Calm info that Teresa's sharing is on our website, mhanational.org.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we think about all these things, and it really is important.
And what's underneath
was
also that had the feeling list and like what's underneath, similar concept.
Again, on our website.
But you can also Google feelings list.
Cool.
And nonviolent communication. Center for Nonviolent Communication.
Okay. Ideally, what happens though, when you guys listen to us, is that the information we share with you resonates with whatever it is that you are going through. Keep in mind that the things that we talk about really are Teresa's experience, my experience.
They come from other things too. Yeah. So in terms of resources, Center for Nonviolent Communication, Mark Brackett's book, Permission to Feel, comes from a similar space. All of the work on social emotional learning, if you want to Google that and find something there you like. DBT with the Dear Man worksheet. There's so much in DBT that's around this same concept too, that we can dialectical behavioral therapy from Marsha Linehan, that we probably can go into in detail in other podcasts, right? But so much of her work is around big feelings. So you just find the tool that works for you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is okay to feel, even though we don't necessarily like to talk about it, because it's important. Otherwise you can't get better.
We like feelings.
We do like feelings. A lot. Well, we hope you guys have a good week, and
see you
keep fighting
week.
In the open.
Keep fighting in the open.